You're listening to a 95 BFM podcast.
Lillian, our new czar, joining us in the studio now. Hi, Lillian.
Good morning.
Good morning. Welcome and... Tarufa.
And the hands on hips.
So quick little kabahaka there.
So
Lillian, you're going to give us a from a newsroom point of view,
yes.
Where things are at with the catastrophe in Christchurch and the horrible events and the what's been happening up till now.
Yeah, we sort of had talked about having this conversation, and I was actually a little bit hesitant to come on at all, really. Just simply because it's not really my voice that needs to be heard right now. There's plenty of other voices that need to be heard. But I think, yes, I ended up deciding to come on
and I thought that
we could talk just, at least what I could offer is the way that I have instructed the news team to approach the terror attacks. And I've been trying to kind of consolidate my thoughts this morning, which I also tried to do Sunday night before Monday morning, and it's very difficult. I think what I did say to the news team to acknowledge that we're all going to be feeling quite shaken by this, and I think that's quite important to be honest about, especially on air. But I also said that actually what was more important as well as part of that is not necessarily to center our pain when it comes to, you know, being on air and having this platform, to be genuine in our voice, but also to acknowledge that directly I am not affected by this, and I don't understand the pain of what the Muslim community is feeling right now. So I think it's really important to differentiate between that. There's a lot of things too that have just been coming out online, and there's a quote I want to read. There's some practical actions that I want to talk about that people can do, and I kind of wanted to indicate the things that I had instructed the news team to kind of to work around. So little things in terms of news coverage. On Friday, we immediately called this a terrorist attack, which mainstream media did sort of avoid until the Prime Minister had said that. And we said it because this, in terms of the definition of terrorism, this was a politically motivated attack. And his intentions behind this were to further a particular type of ideology and to inflict harm on people. For that.
To bring attention to that.
Yes.
Which I guess he's done, and you know, which was always going to happen if he achieved what he achieved, you know?
Yes.
Wasn't it? To, for people, because you're never going to be able to say, well, don't talk about what he wanted, don't talk about what his intentions were, because that's always going to happen, so that's why that's come out.
Well, I think it's not necessarily important to not talk about what his intentions were, because as you've said, that they are very clear, and actually they've been clear to that community who's been under threat since before we knew, you know, before we've had this massive thing happen. These people have known that, what I had instructed the team to do is actually just not name him in order to kind of not give him that notoriety, but also something that has been come out is saying that he's from Christchurch, or it's a problem limited to Christchurch, and two, that he's an Australian citizen. Both are sort of ways of kind of, you know, putting him outside of our jurisdiction, when actually this is quite clearly our problem, and this is a problem that we should deal with as a country, yeah, rather than putting him outside of that.
Oh yeah, I agree with the fact he's Australian, not irrelevant. I do think there is a point that needs to be made about, I disagree with you there about the Christchurch thing. Because
I'm not saying at all that Christchurch doesn't have a very explicit white supremacy problem. We're well aware, yeah, of white skinheads being very vocal in that city.
Yeah.
But what I'm trying to say is that actually racism comes in many forms, and that is throughout the country, basically. Also, that this is not necessarily an unprecedented attack of violence. In its violence, we have seen white supremacy from the way this country was formed in that violence against a group of people for the advancement of a certain race, essentially. In terms of the climate of terror and Islamophobia, this attack in our country is unprecedented in that case.
And I guess from we've seen it in a from a colonization and viewpoint, as opposed, this is an individual. You know, this is not an individual with the backing of
A militia and a monarchy behind it. Yes,
but for argument's sake, there is, you know, where we have seen this before is from, you know, militant, be it religious extremists from other religions. You know what I mean?
From all sides of the spectrum. In that sense, this attack in itself was done by an individual, but I don't think that we should say it was. There's absolutely a community behind him in terms of adhering to this ideology and supporting what he would have to say. Not necessarily standing next to him with the gun, but there is a community that has fostered this ideology.
My initial thoughts are to say a bunch of scared little fuckwits, but I'm trying really hard to not. Just build any division between anybody any bigger. So I'm not going to say scared little cowardly little fuckwits who are just trying to blame the ways of the world on people that don't look like them. So fucking pathetic. So I'm just going to say there's people who are misguided the reason I brought up the Christchurch thing before is because it's can only happen in a place where you can go to a gun club and people can look around to you there's room to move, I guess, if you have those views in a place like
which
that
allows
yeah.
those views
and you know, like if it was in Auckland here's something, one of the best things I read online over the weekend was a journalist, I can't remember the name, just a local journalist who sort of said, you know, I've always sort of thought of these guys as just, you know, simpletons with some ridiculous message from the 1930s that they're trying to run with. And he said, and I should have taken it more seriously. And so I want to know if you live next to people that are expressing these views, or if you have received a pamphlet, or you've got something online that you want to point out to me, I want to collect all that stuff. And I want to find out who these people are. And that's a really good thing, I think. You know,
I do want to come back to that point, because I would ask, who is that person that said that? Because if there are these people that are saying, I didn't realise that this was so serious, are not the people that have been saying this is serious for so long. You know, I want to come back.
I thought that was a positive thing.
Well, exactly. You know? That's a reaction where somebody's saying this is fucked. I didn't know, and taking on board the responsibility.
I should have been more attentive.
I should have been more attentive about that. Absolutely. So, but back to your point in terms of this kind of misguided idea of a race being better than another race, or whatever it might be, a religion
anyone,
being better.
Anyone being better
it's
than
not
anyone.
It's misguided, though, Mikey. It isn't misguided. It's very deliberate, and it's been around for a long time.
Yeah, but it doesn't mean it's right.
Absolutely. These people have taken this on board as truth.
Yep.
And they've taken it upon themselves to enact that truth. That comes from a place of entitlement and privilege. That is what this is about.
And fear.
Of fear of losing that entitlement and privilege.
Or not getting what they thought they were entitled to.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure how much longer we have, but I wanted to also kind of come up, mention a few things. Just in terms of New Zealand's reaction, and I want to say that our government, as much as it can, has done what it can. I think they've responded very quickly, and they've responded with compassion and action. So I do want to commend that. When you compare it to America, you know, when it becomes a discussion around gun laws, and actually. Yes, we do need to have this discussion about gun laws. Absolutely, we need to have that. And we need to have a discussion around our intelligence agencies, not only who the fuck they were looking at and who the fuck they weren't looking at. We need to have those conversations. But again, the root of this is white supremacy. And as a country, we have to look at the way that we are all complicit in that. there are levels of this, and there is the mass violence, and then there are little things like ignoring the people who are saying that this is happening.
Do you think that there has been an environment? I'm just saying this as a devil's advocate. That's not what I think, but I think
not you being the devil's advocate.
That the more you tell, so, like I imagine that having that discussion has almost pushed people like this coward
further
to the extreme. And I think this is my belief so far, with what I know and what I've been soaking up from this whole horrible thing, is that we need to approach that to say it's been like this. This is my viewpoint. I'm not a devil's advocate. So is that we need to approach how we discuss that in a different manner, you know? Because it's not just saying, hey, it's been like this for ages and no one's noticing. The country's trying really hard to understand all that. I think we could definitely try a zillion percent harder, but there's been an effort, you know, over the last however long to just understand each other better and work at things better. But when you start cutting people off and saying, and just telling them that they're wrong and not having any discussion further and just calling them, you know, I felt a lot of the stuff online over the weekend was people just wanting to win the argument sometimes more than actually getting to the point. And I wonder, how do you stop pushing these people out into their own paddock, as it were?
Yeah.
You know, and because if they're out there, that's when people form groups.
Yeah.
And when people form groups, then someone wants to be head of the group and they want to show off to the rest of the group, and that's how that happens.
Yeah, okay. But these people also are going to commit violence anyway. They're going to do whatever they want to do, regardless of the way society...
But you have to get to a frame of thought. You have to get into it. You have to get to a place in your head where you want to do that. And I think...
I don't think that this person... I mean, if you're going to say that it's the rest of society's fault that this person got there because they were talking about racism...
No, I'm not. I'm just saying it's not the rest of society's fault. Everybody, we're all responsible for everyone. You know what I mean?
But if what you're saying then is about call out culture and how there has
a little bit, yeah,
there's come to be quite a direct and unapologetic way of calling out this type.
Whether that's right or wrong, but I just think that we need to figure out another better way of dealing with things.
That's I don't think anybody's disputing that because clearly it's not working. Right,
but people are doing it hard out,
and I think that you need to give people space, especially those who don't get heard or do not have platforms of power, and the only thing that they can do is turn around and say "fuck you," your thoughts, your thought process, basically means that I do not exist. I do not have time for you. I think that to allow for a person to have that. I have no problem with that. But I do agree that people who are not at risk, who are not threatened on day-to-day, need to take more time to have these conversations and in a very complex way, trying to deconstruct those ideas. I think there's absolutely room for that.
Thank you very much, Lillian.
Can I finish on a quote?
Sure.
I'm sorry, I know we're over time. But what I was saying, that in terms of us commending the way that we've responded to this, I can see that people have come together a lot. I wanted to say a point, though, that you know, there's a limit to how much we can actually pat ourselves on the back at this point, and actually the work has to be done. Very soon. This is a time of mourning, and we have to have that space. We have to give that, but we also need to make sure that we do work. I also want to just say too that in terms of because this is a specific community, and a lot of us may not have interactions with this community on a day-to-day, it's important too to not actually, in our language, not to ostracize them and put them over there kind of as a spectacle, saying, you know, oh, look at them, they're dealing with this so well. I saw a tweet about this saying, actually, our community is, yes, fucking sad, yes, dealing with this very well. We're also really, really angry, and we're also complex, and we're humans, actually, and we're going to deal with this in a myriad of ways.
This is what I was saying to Phil Goff, is that actually it's some of the most impressive displays of that have been from almost some of the other people that were in the event itself. You know what I mean? Their compassion and their words have been so beautiful that, you know, like, And quite inspirational, I think.
But even, I think what I'm trying to say is, even if they weren't, and even if they were angry, or if they were not giving people the time, that we would also need to allow them that space. Because to respond to something like this...
But I'm just saying, that's been noticeable. And there's been, you know, I've been thinking, well, you know, people... I mean, so one guy, there was a guy that's been interviewed last night who's, you know, lost... Basically, he was under two bodies or something like that. And... He was eloquent and professing how much he really genuinely loved this country and the privilege he felt of being here. You know what I mean? And when so many people have this fucking thing where they just go on about refugees and immigrants and they come here and they just, no, they don't. They fucking love it. You know, and you could probably turn around and love it a little bit more, mate. You know, that's what I feel. There's a lot of people out there who could be a lot more genuine and heartfelt their love of the country instead of just saying we don't want foreigners here, you know.
Do you think, I've got a list of things that people can do. I just wanted to point out Action Station has actually put it, like a number of people actually have been putting out lists of what people can do, you know, both on a bigger scale but also even just in your workplace. You know, like people were saying, go to work on Monday morning and make sure that you're giving space to people that are affected by this to speak, that sort of thing. They're sort of I guess more like some practical things you can do physically is donate. There's two main crowdfunding campaigns set up, one on Launch Good and one on Give A Little. You can attend a vigil. An Action Station in their list referred to tangihanga, which is a Māori funeral process in which people come together to grieve the one they've lost. And vigils are being organised around the country and are bringing people together in their collective grief, and this might serve a similar purpose. So Dunedin is hosting one on Thursday the 21st of March in the Octagon. Auckland will be holding another one following the Saturday event this weekend on Friday night from 6 p.m. in Aotea Square. Nelson will host one on their Race Unity Day on Sunday the 24th of March, and Christchurch will also host one that Sunday in Cathedral Square from 5 p.m. Donate blood. People have said donating blood is something you can do, but
I had a call from someone earlier
said
on.
That the stocks are sufficient actually, so you may be turned away, but I think this has come from the fact that A plus and O plus are always positive. Sorry.
A plus. Positive. You've got A plus, bloke. Congratulations.
O positive. Sorry.
A positive.
I'm
positive.
Just reading the image. Yeah. They're always needed in supply. So kind of just generally those are the ones that are needed the most. Action Station are also running petitions to end hate speech, and this has been ongoing even before these attacks, and to ban semi-automatic weapons, so you can take action by supporting those petitions. Also, we were talking about this before, that a number of people or companies are planning to pull ads from Facebook following their choice to live stream the footage.
Shut the poison down.
And if you have this sort of influence in terms of structural kind of financial leverage, where you can take ads off Facebook, that means not giving money to these platforms or putting that money into kind of Muslim communities or Muslim organizations at this time. If you can kind of uplift those, then that's something really, really good to do. And beyond these actions, these are practical, but another practical action is to deal with our culture, basically, to deal with the way that we interact with each other, the way that we give platforms to certain people in mainstream media, and the way that we allow those kind of rhetorics to continue. Don't shy away from naming it. Don't shy away from understanding it.
Can I do that now, then?
Don't shy away from deconstructing it, and don't shy away from understanding that if that is the case, you're complicity in it. We did this and we allowed this to happen. So as a country, we need to actually think about that.
I want to talk about with you, just listening to Talkback Radio, when I heard when James Shaw, just the day that James Shaw got assaulted,
mm-hmm.
and when that news came out, and hearing people say, you know, hey, I want the name of that guy who assaulted James Shaw. Yeah, what's the guy's name? Because I want to buy him a beer. It's like really, really, fuckwit, really. and then people are some just six and saying, don't listen to it. It's like, I listen to it because I think if you don't listen to it, you don't know what's going on.
And that's a point.
That is the only reason I listen to that claptrap. And then so there's that the first day. The next day, listen to a whole almost a whole day, and I say almost because not all of them, but almost a whole day of just dismissive, smug, scoffing comments about the climate change march and the kids in New Zealand and what do they think they're doing and what a bunch of arse and blah 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 blah. And then this happening and sort of going, you know, this and like I mentioned last week on air too, you know, things people are saying this little girl's government's failing. Like actually comments like that, you know, this patronising, condescending, looking down through your nose at people, looking down your nose at people, sort of attitude, which stinks through Mike Hosking's show, which stinks through Larry Williams' show. You and actually said name it. Okay. Seriously, man. You listen to it over and over and over. And it's like the way that that they talk to people and about what they believe their opinion is.
Exactly.
Is really disgusting.
You can name it. Sean Plunkett, Duncan Garner, Mike Hosking, Don Brash. The fact that these people have platforms and are given platforms to talk about something that they don't actually have any experience personally about, that they then even beyond their show on TV or radio or whatever it is, they're offered columns to write about a response to this thing that's happened. It's like, actually,
it's clickbait.
Who are the voices that we need to be
and
hearing
also
right now?
They also not so much have that opinion, but they build up an environment where an alternate opinion is just not welcome. Which they have time for. You know, if you listen to all the Mike Hosking breakfast show or the, let's just say the ZB breakfast show, ever since Paul Holmes, is so tightly structured down to the 15-second breaks. You know what I mean? So they know it's coming out. They probably pre-record half of it beforehand.
Right.
Okay. So it's not just, you know, it doesn't allow for anything when you've got, and then when they take the talkback callers call it. That's all, you know, there's a little bit more room to move there. But they don't bother to do it. If they're throwing out the really heavy opinions, you know what I mean?
You make an interesting point, though, there, Mikey, because if you're saying that there is an issue with people calling out, this is almost a similar issue, right? Where if you're going to shut somebody down for a far-right perspective, and then if you've got these people on mainstream media who have an audience shutting people down for a left wing,
or just not even entertaining the left wing,
exactly, and not allowing for that dialogue, it's the same issue. Then you've got to look at that power imbalance.
But you're obviously referring to what we're talking about just before 9 o'clock for people who weren't listening. But the approach. Yeah, I haven't got it right at the second. Sorry, but the approach to how we deal with that?
So then it's a question Then it's a question of what we deem as civil in society. Why is it that Mike Hosking, because he speaks in a certain way, or Duncan Garner, because they approach things in a certain way, why is that more acceptable than somebody calling out somebody in emotional pain?
I think anybody that thinks anybody is that anyone's any less than them is needs to rethink. That's my opinion, of course. You know,
Can we say bubbles though? That's what you're saying too about listening to the talkback stuff, and because you listen to it because you want to know what is out there, because there's shit out there, and if you do kind of exist in your own bubble, which is safe, and you deal with people every day who are like minded and all of that sort of thing. I do want to point out though that it takes a lot of emotional energy to listen all day to talkback radio.
Yes!
Where you have, but I think, Mikey, it's really important that somebody like you, who has that energy, who is not necessarily directly affected by comments about Muslims, comments about Maori people, comments about those sorts of things, it's important for us to be aware of that sort of stuff so we can call it out.
Yep. It's not my preferred way of entertaining myself all day.
Can we finish on the quote? You would have probably seen Anjun Rahman from the Islamic Women's Council being vocal about the dismissal in terms of certain voices that have been calling on the government for a long time now, to basically be aware of the threat that Muslim communities are facing. So, if you have seen this or not, that's all. But she's been kind of quite vocal, and I think that's really important to acknowledge that people have been lobbying the government for a long time to take these threats seriously. Basically,
that was horrible to hear that. Yeah.
I think
this is where I'm sorry.
No, it's all right. I'm just going to say that I hope to have her on the wire tomorrow or sometime this week, which will be really good. But for now, here's a quote from Faisal al-Assad, who is Iraqi born but lived in studied in Auckland. He's Muslim and he's been part of the Racial Equity Aotearoa group, who have spoken a lot about decolonizing and humanizing the way we speak about immigrants. Faisal has written a few things over the past few days, and I've asked his permission if I can share this today. So he writes, "I'll never forget the many meetings and roundtables I attended alongside other Muslim advocates and leaders, where we argued and pleaded, pointlessly it seems, with different government agencies to turn their attention from our communities and mosques to the real threats in this country. I'll never forget the empty reassurances, let alone the smirking faces, as someone dismissively joked in reference to the far right and white supremacists in New Zealand, quote, 'It's hard to take these guys seriously,' unquote. I'll also never forget my hosts at Al Noor Mosque when I visited them 2 years ago, probably not long before the killer began planning his attack. At the time, we were visiting every major city to consult with Muslim leaders and communities about their experiences of racial profiling. I won't forget how, like all Muslims in this country, and despite all the harassment and intimidation suffered at the hands of the SIS, customs and immigration, they clung to this notion that we belonged here, that we were safe here, that this is our home. Today, we need to grieve and mourn, so let's do whatever we can to support each other and, most importantly, the immediate victims of yesterday's atrocity. But tomorrow we need to ask some hard questions and hold people to account for the sheer horror they enabled." That was Faisal Al-Assad.
Thanks, Rachel Lillian. It's 22 minutes past 9 o'clock.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.